Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever precious and the worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the continued ministry of God's precious and holy word. And our particular theme of consideration, at the present time, we are undertaking a study on the great doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We have touched upon one phase of His present ministry during this present age of the church. May I reemphasize that our consideration as we study this great doctrine is in regard to its present work during the age of grace, during the history of the church upon the earth. There is no question of doubt that the ministry of the Holy Spirit during the age of the church is very peculiar in contrast to preceding ages, and we shall also add, in contrast to the ages yet to come. There is a unique ministry given to the Holy Spirit. He is present upon the earth. In person, He dwells on the earth. In person, He is here below ever since the day of Pentecost. He will stay in this present relationship to the earth and to the church until the church is consummated and will be taken to meet the Lord in the air at that blessed event we often call the rapture of the saints. We have noted one phase of His ministry as being a ministry of convicting. And the Lord Jesus declared that He would convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. May I state emphatically, this is one of the greatest ministries that has been given to the Spirit of God in order to convict souls of their need of the Savior and press them into coming to the Savior and trusting in His redeeming work. We continue the second consideration of His present ministry, and it is a ministry of regenerating work. How blessed to recognize, as we have noted, He is the divine person of the Godhead who by His power regenerates men and women, which means He imparts unto them new life, imparting to those who believe on the Savior the life of Christ itself. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit alone who brings them into the possession of being born again. Now permit me to clarify any misconception about this new birth, this new life, by stating that the purpose of God in regenerating men and women is not to take the old life and patch it up or improve it, positively not. When God regenerates a soul by the power of the regenerating Spirit of God, He gives to that soul a new life. That new life possesses new power and new desires, for it is the life of Christ. God has no desire to rehabilitate the old life. He is finished with it. And the Spirit regenerates to give new birth, to give new life, and may I say it reverently with worship and adoration, it is divine life. The very life of God, the very life of Christ. How many, both among men and women in youth, need this new life? But then let us go to the basic text of God's Word regarding the subject of the Spirit's regenerating work. We go to the Gospel according to St. John. We would read from chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. They are the words of the Lord Jesus when He spoke them to Nicodemus long ago. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now let us carefully analyze the words of our beloved Savior from this section. We would like to present it in four particular ways. The very first thing we should realize, we must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is the Spirit of God who alone imparts this new birth, but he uses a divine instrument to effect it. He plants a divine seed in the soul and the heart to bring about the impartation of this new life. The seed is suggested by the symbol of water. And may I again be careful to declare, though many disagree, I know, that this expression water is not water baptism. The symbol of water in our verse is that which Peter explains very clearly as to its meaning in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Listen to his words. When he writes to say, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now please let us be sensible. This is a new life. And all life, whatever kind it may be, must spring from seed. Whether human, whether animal, whether vegetable, and so on. Likewise, the divine life must come from that which is its seed. And Peter declares that when one is born again, 'tis not of corruptible seed, 'tis not of earthly seed that goes to corruption and death, but a seed that is incorruptible. A seed that possesses that eternal character of life belonging to God. Then Peter very carefully declares, that incorruptible seed, what is it? It is the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Then in verse 24 at the close of 1 Peter chapter 1, the apostle goes on to state, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now let me recapitulate my remarks to state again. This seed is not water baptism, though I believe water baptism has its place in the Christian testimony. But the seed that regenerates, as we see here, must be the word of God by the Spirit's power manifested. That a Christian should be baptized, I readily confess, but never to be born again, but to testify that he or she has been born again. The Spirit of God does the work of regeneration, and may we remark once again, the instrumentality by which he regenerates is the Word of God, which in many other scriptures has been typified by the term water. Now, beloved, let me please re-emphasize, we must be born again. We must have the power of this seed, the Word of the living God, coming into the heart and into the soul to effectively bring that life which will give us an entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, second, our scripture in John chapter 3, the words of the Savior declare that we must realize that the new birth is distinctly separate from our first birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Those words pertain to our natural birth, our birth by nature. We shall possess this natural life right down to the end of our earthly existence. But we must realize this natural life is flesh right to the very end. Our natural life can never produce any merit in order that we may enter the kingdom of God. We must have the second birth. But it is not a natural birth. It is a spiritual birth. Born again of the Spirit, declares the Savior. And my friend, you and I need a spiritual birthday. We certainly would raise the question, do you have this second birthday, my friend? It has been so stated, born once, we shall die twice. Born twice, we shall die only once, and perhaps not at all. Now let me explain what I have stated clearly. We must have two births if we shall ever enter the kingdom of God. The natural birth will never bring us into the kingdom of God. But to be born again by the Spirit will. But what a joy to realize, when I have been born again, I can only die once, and perhaps not at all. The second death is spoken of as the eternal judgment and the lake of fire where lost souls will be banished forever. And according to Revelation 20, this is the second death. But if I trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior, though I die once, physically, I will never partake of the second death. But if I never trust the Lord Jesus, if I am never born again, I shall have two deaths to thus lie before me, my radio friend. Do you have this second birth, the birth of the Holy Spirit? God grant that you do. Father, bless thy word and sanctify the truth that we are sought to present in the name of the Savior for his glory. Amen.